be seated. We welcome you to our worship service on this seventh Sunday of Easter. But even more than that, we recognize those women in our lives, some for us biological mothers, some very important people, women we knew in church, or teachers, or aunts. We've all been blessed by many godly women through the years, and I'm always reminded of the way that book written by the most wise man ever lived, he's called Solomon, his book of wisdom, he ends in a very wise way when he says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done it excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." And so we just want to give thanks to all those godly women on this day who have blessed us. A couple announcements. I know Dave Gardner made this announcement, but if you're having any trouble with the CTRN, the online directory, or the app directory, there are instruction sheets on the table in the narthex if you'd like that. Also, I have about six more free tickets. You do have to get to Roanoke, and we'll carpool, but I have about six more free tickets to the All-You-Can-Eat Shrimp Fest next Saturday. It's from 11 to 2 in downtown Roanoke. And like I say, I've paid for the ticket, so it's free. And there are about four different types of shrimp and all the fixings. And it's a fundraiser for the Shrine Children's Hospital. So if you'd like to go, let me know, because I'll give you a ticket. Any other announcements? Then let's move into prayer requests. One that's in the bulletin that I'd like to keep them lifted up. I reached out to him this morning, but Lenny Snipes, his mother passed away. Her service is tomorrow down in Chase City. So let's keep Lenny and his sister in prayer and all the family. So let's keep them in prayer. Any other? Yes, ma'am, Agnes.
Erica Dolan Wood.
Okay. Is that?
Yes, it is. Sandy so, had to do CPR on her. She has pneumonia. It has a trach and is on oxygen.
Oh.
And she's in ICU.
And she'd be, what, in her 40s maybe? A young
I guess
woman.
So, 4 year.
Okay. So, and that's Cindy's daughter.
Yes.
So let's keep, if you remember Betty Evans, this is Betty's granddaughter. So that's mighty young for that. So let's keep her in prayer. Did you have your hand up, Diane?
No.
Okay. Yes.
I have a praise that my mom's had her pacemaker put in on Friday, and she's doing extremely well. And she already, the day she had it put in, she was already feeling better. So it's already working, and Dad's kind of cooking. He's warming up food for her, so we're making progress.
Well, Elgin just did wonderfully, and she's a real testimony of why you should not sleep in late and be an early riser, because if you slept in late that day, she would have been done by the time you prayed, because I got a text that she was finished quite quickly. So let's continue to keep Elgin in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Keep Mom and Buck in prayers for travel. They're traveling to Vegas today.
To Vegas?
It's a once a year school or convention for the Air Force.
Good deal. So let's keep Buck and Chris in our prayers. Also, got a note from Tony. Why, Tony? Two of her sisters have been in all weekend, so they're leaving sometime today. And her mother's still about the same, so let's continue to keep Barbara and all her family in prayer. Let's keep several that are traveling. Gwen's traveling. I'm aware that Carolyn's going to Alaska as we speak. So just a lot of folks that are traveling, so we keep them all in prayer. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord. We thank you for the presence of those people in our lives that have blessed us, have helped form us, and because of their place in our lives, they've left their imprint upon us. We are shaped by those godly women and men that were by no means perfect, but were faithful and diligent. Many worked difficult hours and long hours to provide for their family and to just be the strength. And we thank you for all of them. For those that are living, we're thankful for the continuation of making memories. And for those that have gone on to glory, we thank you for the rich memories that we have to strengthen us. We pray that you'd be with these that have been mentioned. In particular, we lift up the Snipes family. May tomorrow's service be one of comfort and strength. And on this day in particular, we just pray that Zoe and Lenny will be strengthened. Be with Barbara and her family. Just thank you for the time that the sisters have been able to be together. Thank you that it went so well for Elle Jean. Pray that you'll continue to strengthen her and that will continue to go well. We pray that you be with Erica. We pray that you will bring healing and stability. We pray that you be with all those many people that are traveling. Give safety to all of them. In particular, we lift up Chris and Buck as they travel out to Nevada. We pray that they'll have a safe trip and an enjoyable time there. We thank you for an opportunity to publicly, in this country, gather together for the purpose of praising your name. We thank you for the freedoms of this great country. We pray that you'd be with those that lead us, that they would seek to lead us according to your word. For your word tells us that happy are the people when their leaders seek your face. So may that be the case. Protect those that serve us at home and abroad. Give them safety. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, and we gather to give you the praise, for we know you are the source of all good. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. If you'll join with me on the front, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and righteous spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 1 not only as our call to worship responsibly, but it's also the text for the sermon. So give ear to this, and then I made a mistake in the bulletin. The hymn is 353.
No, this one is right, 154.
Oh, okay. I'm real confused. So this is right. This is right. So let's call one another to worship. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like the trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with the leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed.
Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and he was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. Let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Thank you.
highest heaven. Abandon us not to be orphans, but keep your Father's promise to send your Holy Spirit of truth. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, and you have made us your children. And as your children, we're bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 15. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him.
Above all names, we lift up our head for our redemption
draws nigh, in you alone. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 17, verses 1b through 11b through 19. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to God. You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lot of you unfortunately know this. Sometimes you've unfortunately been captive to this. But I love to sing. You'll probably not find anyone that loves to sing more than I do. Now, I don't do it well. I've got a voice that's akin to a sick cow, but I feel, especially if the radio's on, that I sound exactly like the person that is singing. And isn't it nice to know that there's some things in life, it really doesn't matter how good you are as far as your enjoyment. Singing is one of those. Several years ago, I was playing golf with yours truly, Webb Griffin. And Webb got a little irritated with me. He's a good golfer, a real good golfer. And I'm not. I don't golf as well as I sing. So you know how poor that is. And he looked at me and he said, somewhat irritated, Tom, how can you be so bad and still enjoy it so much? Now, there are some things that your enjoyment of it are tied to your ability. I mean, I would think brain surgery and skydiving are one of those things that if you're not good at, it's probably not much fun. But singing, we can all sing. Singing is natural to the human soul. We sing when we're happy. We sing while we're working or bored. We sing the blues when we suffer. We just are singing people. The people of God have always been a singing people. Did some research this past week, and there are 400 times that singing is mentioned in the Scripture. The Psalter, or we call it the Psalms, was the hymn book, the song book for the people of Israel. And their bookend by Psalm 1, which is our text for the day, and Psalm 150. Both are masterfully worded in a very beautiful and rhetorical and pregnant with meaning. And Psalm 1, the one we're going to look at today, gives a summary not only of the entire book of the Psalter, but it gives us a summary of life. So if you have your scripture or the insert, let's look at Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 describes two ways of living. A blessed way and a pity way. A blessed way and a pity way. The word here for blessed is often, and maybe in your translation, especially the more modern ones, and especially the Greek word of blessed, which is makarios, it might have happy, might say happy. And really what it means is that state of being that everybody looks at you and they're envious. You ever know people when you look at them, they just seem to have a Midas touch? Everything just seems to go well for them. And it's like, how can they be so lucky? How can they be so blessed? And that's what this word means. When it talks about being blessed, it's just being fortunate. My favorite way to translate makarios in the New Testament, and I would encourage you this afternoon to go through the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and it will really strike you. And that's an English word, congratulations. Congratulations, you who are poor in spirit. Congratulations when others persecute you. Congratulations. And that's this idea that we are just overwhelmingly blessed. That's one way. The other way is the pitied way. It's seen as marked for destruction. In the psalm, it talks about not being able to stand, or the chaff blowing it away, not having any value. People just shake their heads and say, how can that guy be in such a pitiful state? You might hear words echoing from Mr. T from the A-Team when he would say, I pity the fool. And it's just, you just feel sorry for them. And this psalm is talking about this. And it's talking about that there are two different ways that we can walk. The blessed way and the pitied way. The blessed way is the way of knowledge. Knowledge. God knows us. And we know Him. In John 17:3, we're told that this is eternal life, that you may know God, that you may know Jesus Christ. Eternal life is wonderful, but it's not something you get at death. Hopefully, if you understand the scripture and life properly, when we bury you, I'll be able, or some pastor will be able, to stand up and say, she was in heaven even before she died. He knew eternal life even before his physical life ended. Because do you know how blessed you are that you know Jesus Christ? That you are aware of his love for you? And even more than that, aren't you enviable? If you allow me to put it in a non-theological way, aren't you lucky that God knows you? The pitied way is the position where they don't know God. They don't think of God. God's not on their radar screen. Like C.S. Lewis said, people that go to hell are getting exactly what they want. They wanted to ignore God in life, and now, okay, you can do that for all eternity. The pitied way is that position where they don't know God. They don't want to know God. Job says in Job 21, verse 13, they spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. Yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. That's sad, isn't it? What's even sadder is what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Because the pitied way, they don't want to know God or entertain or focus on God. But even more pitiful, the pitied way, he says, I don't know you. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday that's been unfairly treated by quote-unquote Christian church people. And I've heard it all too often. But the truth of the matter is, as I communicated to this young woman yesterday, that there's a big difference between being a church attender or putting a label Christian and being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And the cutting line is these two ways. Are you blessed knowing that you know God through the Spirit and He knows you? Or are you just going through the motions and He's not remembering you? But let me say a couple of things very quickly. This knowledge is not something we acquired by study. We don't have this knowledge because we set out on an intensive search to find God. For we know the Scripture says, no man seeketh after God. We know in our own life, if our knowing God was dependent upon our desire to search and our ability to find, we'd still be lost. We sing because He searched for us. We sing because He found us. We sing because He didn't give us this knowledge because of our study. He didn't reward us because of our goodness or our good behavior. This knowledge was given to us by the Spirit. And we sing. See, Psalm 1 is not there giving us something to do. Every time we read Scripture, because we, like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what was the first thing they did? Turn to God and repent? No. We can fix this on our own, thank you very much. And they made themselves fig leaves. We're the same. Every time we read Scripture, we think, okay, what is it telling me to do? Don't read Scripture that way. For one thing, it's wrong-headed, and for another thing, it'll put you on a spiritual treadmill that will have no joy. No one will look at you and think you're blessed. Rather, read Scripture the way Jesus told us to read Scripture in John 5 when He says, all of Scripture is about Me. Don't read Scripture about something that you need to do. Read Scripture and see it's something that was done by Jesus Christ for us. I was sharing this past week in Bible study, I probably should do it more often, that when we have different tenets or precepts or things that look like commands or law in Scripture, there are descriptive and prescriptive laws. A prescriptive law is telling you to do something. When I say thou shalt not murder, you can choose to do it or not do it. I really wish you would choose not to do it. Your life would be easier. But it's prescribing something for you to do or not to do. But there's some laws that are descriptive. They're not telling you what to do. They're just telling you the way it is. If you got up on top of this roof and protested loudly and continually to me that you did not believe and would not honor the law of gravity, if you stepped off, you're going to fall. I don't care whether you believe in that law or not. It's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. Most of Scripture is descriptive in this way. We turn it into a job description for us of things to do, but it's telling us about Christ. And Psalm 1, telling these two ways, it's not giving us something to do, it's describing. And then the other thing I want to say, so we don't go off and be like those Christians I described earlier, don't think that the line between these two ways cut between us and others. Don't think that what it's saying is, okay, now you go out and find who are the ones that are really the blessed ones, and who are the ones that are the pitied ones, and you can go and sort of identify who's in and who's out. you're good, you're evil. Like most of Scripture, that type of thinking only leads to judgmentalism. It leads to arrogance. Because we always tend to put ourselves on the good side, don't we? Not perfect, but, you know, we tend to do that. But the biggest thing about thinking that way, we miss the real joy of knowing that it's not about a line that cuts people in categories. The line between these two ways runs through each human heart. That line runs through both of us, through all of us. It's what Luther would put in Latin, it's the simul justus et peccator, that we are simultaneously, at the same time, a saint. And don't you have some times that you really surprise yourself how saintly you are? But at the same time, we're a saint, we're a sinner. And don't you have times that you surprise yourself how much a sinner you are? We have both ways in our own heart. And this psalm calls us forth to sing a refrain that'll help us in the way. And I put it sort of in a, I'm not going to sing it, but I put it in sort of a lyrical way. Here are the three things this psalm calls us to do. We're to feed the spiritual side. And let me tell you, I did sort of take this from an old song out of the 40s. Eliminate the negative. And,
accentuate the positive.
Yeah. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around with the mystery in between. So I don't want to plagiarize. So the first thing is we're called to feed the spiritual side. Luther said that we have two dogs, is the way he described this line between these two ways in our hearts. We have two dogs fighting. And he was asked, which dog wins? He said, whichever one you feed the most. So feed the spiritual side through daily reading and prayers and reflecting. I'm glad you came to church today. But I hope sometime this afternoon you go outside and look at the heavens and declare His handiwork. And don't look at your phone. And don't be wired in. Just go out and drink in the goodness of this planet that God has made and the goodness of God. So feed the spiritual side. Trust the spiritual guide. Talking about a way, my favorite passage about a way is Isaiah 35. For I need this and I rely upon it. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow as sign will flee away, and not even a fool will get lost on this road. I like that guarantee. For those of us who feel given every, have you ever felt like you're living life playing let's make a deal and you always choose the wrong door? Well, trust the spiritual guide. We're on a path, we're on a road home that because of the goodness of the Holy Spirit, not even a fool like me will get lost. So feed the spiritual side, trust the spiritual guide, and relax knowing you will abide. I quoted John 7:3 about eternal life being the knowledge of God. Later, he says in verse 11 of Psalm, in Matthew 7. Later, John 17, I got too many sheets of paper. I thought it'd be neat if I printed off the scripture. I wouldn't have to turn in the Bible, but pages get all the things. But he says in verse 11, that those who trust in me, even though I'm going away, they're remaining. They're not of the earth, but they'll stay there, and they'll remain there because I will keep them. I will keep them. And it's a wonderful Greek word, tereo. And it means to establish, to guard, to keep. See, we can relax on whatever path you're on. And looking out without going into them, everyone I'm looking at has had a challenging path the last year. And we can sing and relax. For we will remain. Not because of our ability to hold on, but because he will never let us go. That gives us something to sing about, brothers and sisters. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up. Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glorious God, in Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, you showed your purpose for your people and your love for your world. In Jesus, you fulfilled your promises and opened to us your heart. In his passion and death, we saw the consequences of our rejection and the depth of your yearning. Yet you raised Jesus from the tomb. In his resurrection, you invite us into the company of your eternal joy. And in his ascension on high, you seal as complete his work among us. So with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise you forever, singing, Holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Gracious God, your Son at his ascension promised the disciples that they would be clothed with power from on high. Send now your Holy Spirit, that we may know the presence of your Son among us, and that bread broken and wine outpoured will be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup again. He gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Generous God, your Son told his disciples to stay in the city until they were clothed by the Spirit. Give courage to those whom you call to stay in places of danger and confusion, when their hearts are full of doubt and disillusion. Your Son withdrew from the disciples when they did not know what the future would hold. Be close to all
who face an uncertain future and deeply know their need of you. Your son's disciples were continually in the temple praising you. Give your church a fresh outpouring of your spirit and make it a blessing to all the children of your earth until the completion of your son's ministry becomes the completion of your whole creation. And you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In Acts 16, we see a beautiful picture of what I tried to speak of in the sermon and what the psalmist does perfectly in Psalm 1. We have a picture of Paul and Silas out doing the work of the Lord, seeking to honor God in what they do. And their result for that was they were beaten half to death. They were severely beaten and tortured, then taken in at midnight to a prison, strapped to the stone wall, chained, where they could not move, could not rub their wounds or attend to all the infirmities that had been afflicted. And you know what they did? They sang. They sang praises to God. And what we know is that doesn't come from flesh and blood. That doesn't come from our ability to grin and bear it. That doesn't come from our patience. That doesn't come from our spiritual activity or abilities. It's a gift from the Spirit that enables us to sing. I pray, whatever you're going through, as you come forth, may this, as Paul said, we do proclaim, we sing loudly his death until he comes by partaking at this table. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive. And may your soul sing as you come to keep the feast.
Broken through in the blood of Christ.
Our gracious God, we thank you for all your blessings, full and rich and new every day. We're grateful that your strength, your sustenance, your power, and your presence is not meted out at the beginning. But like that manna that fell daily, we have fresh and new grace from you for the living of all the fresh and new difficulties of life. We're grateful for the dynamic nature of your relationship with us. And we pray in absolute trust, as your earthly mother prayed, be it to me according to your word. We would pray, may we have the Spirit's ability to sing regardless of circumstances, to trust that you, as the greatest artisan who's created all things and declared them good, you're creating us. You are the potter. We're the vessel. May we trust that at the end of the process, you too will call it good. And because of that, may we continue to sing of your beauty and grace. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship singing our final hymn.
Thank you.
stumbling, and to present you faultless before the throne, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be all glory and power, dominion and might, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.